I invite you to turn with me to the passage of Holy Scripture that was penned many years ago by the apostle to the Gentiles, the Honorable Paul, who was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, where it reads, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden or load." You know, there are many times in our life when life seems very peaceful and easy. And the truth is, we are a blessed people. That's been mentioned some in this meeting. And compared to many other people in this world, we live very peaceful and tranquil lives. But life is life. And we all know that sooner or later, it can get tough. And sometimes real tough. And it's during these difficult times that we reach out to others. We know that we're falling down under the burden of something in life. A loss of a family member, or a loss of a great individual or member in our congregation, or other types of losses in life. And we don't want to fall down. Burdens come in various ways, by various means, by various measures. For example, some are burdensome, but not overly difficult. We call them light burdens. Some are heavy, difficult. Some seem to happen by accident. Some seem to happen perhaps on purpose. Some burdens are the result of others. Some are self-inflicted. Some are sinful. Some aren't. But nonetheless, hard to bear. Here in this text, the apostle makes clear the type of burden in consideration. He says in verse 1 and part of 2, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens." Mr. Vine says in his dictionary, he defines this word trespass as a false step, a blunder, fault, offense, to fall away, or deviation from uprightness or truth. As we stated, there are things in life that are burdensome. These burdens are extremely difficult sometimes. And we're faced with the task of coping and dealing through prayer to the Lord, while also leaning on our loved ones, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. But what is Paul talking about here? What specific type of burden? It is the burden of sin, as he describes it here as trespass. As terrible as many other types of burdens can be, brothers and sisters in Christ, the worst type is the type of sin to cause us to fall away. Why? Because the Scripture tells us that sin is what separates us from God. The prophet said it in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." The Scriptures are clear. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, as Paul penned in Romans 3 and 23. But when a person is overtaken in sin, even for a baptized believer, when their sin has pinned them down and they are falling down under the weight of it or the burden of it, when they are continuing in that sin, where God's grace cannot abound, this person is in a dangerous place. Because their sin, as the Scripture has stated, has separated them from God. They need help. They need help. Paul said it this way in Romans 6, 1 through 3. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Or do you not know that as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death?" Paul says when you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized in his death, meaning that sin no longer lives in you since Christ now lives in you. But if you continue in sin, the Lord's grace cannot abound there. And he went on later to say in verse 12 of Romans 6, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in it, it in its lusts." Listen, if you are not a child of God, if you have not obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that has been delivered to you in the message of the gospel, if you haven't been baptized into Jesus' death, you are separated from God. And there is no hope of eternal life separate and apart from God. But if you are a child of God, if you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that has been delivered to you in the message of the gospel, and you are continuing in a sin that you know is bearing down on you, it is overtaking you, listen, you are in a dangerous place. You need help. Left untreated, allowed to reign in your mortal body, you too will be separated from God's grace. No wonder Paul was warning these brethren here at the churches of Galatia about the burden of sin. But I believe that the problem here in Galatia was twofold. We see this in this epistle. Not only were there weak and burdened Christians who were in danger of being overtaken by sin, but there were stronger, more spiritual fellow Christians who were not concerned enough to help. In fact, they were adding more of a burden to already weakened fellow Christians. Here in our text, Paul says in verse 1, if a man's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, sometimes each of us are the weaker Christian, and sometimes we're the stronger. But when we see a fellow Christian struggling in their walk with Christ, we cannot stand idly by and do nothing. The command from God is clear. We who are spiritual, restore. Yet there is a proper way, a proper attitude to which we restore. And it is through reflection, it would seem here, as Paul describes. The reflection of our own life. Paul says, we restore this weakened fellow Christian in a spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. So first things first, we've got to care. We've got to be concerned enough for our fellow brother or sister in Christ to notice when they're struggling. And again, if we see worldly behavior in their speech or their actions, if they're missing the call to assemblies, if they seem distant, we should be concerned for them. James put it this way in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that wonderful? But second, we must look at ourselves. We must consider ourselves. Jesus taught this on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. He says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there's a plank in your own eye. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, Jesus said. Our attitude, brethren, is paramount in scripturally and properly assisting a brother or sister falling down under the burden of sin. We must approach the problem as though our sins are larger and more pronounced. That's what Jesus is saying. We treat our sins as planks and theirs as specks. Why? Because we know our own hearts and our own weaknesses, but we don't know the heart of a brother or sister, even if they're struggling under the obvious burden of sin. So in reflecting and restoring, we care and we consider. But third, we correct. Nonetheless, we correct. But how do we do it? Paul said, in the spirit of gentleness. Let's go back to the example that Jesus gave regarding the plank in our own eye and the speck of sawdust in our brother or sister's eye. Let's say that a friend got a piece of sawdust in their eye. Would you walk over there to them and gouge your finger in there to get it out? Well, no. Would we walk away without helping them and tell them, well, you should have got it in there to start with? No, because getting something out of someone's eye must be handled delicately and lovingly. Like the eye, the heart is fragile. It's a delicate thing. And yet, although we correct in love and gentleness, we must nonetheless correct when necessary and be corrected by others. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Paul says, is the brother or sister living in sin? And let them lovingly know that their choice of living that way is against God. We cannot pretend that living in sin is okay. We cannot go along in order to get along. But the scriptures are clear. We don't treat them as an enemy, but admonish them. It means to earnestly advise or warn as a brother or sister in Christ. Let's go back to our text in verse 2. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The word burden here in verse 2 comes from the Greek word baros. And it denotes something physically heavy. It's the same word used in Matthew 20 and verse 12 in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where they bore the heat of the midday heat in the middle of the day. And so this burden is described in verse 2, the burden of that's on our fellow Christian. We consider it a heavy burden, baros. But the word burden in verse 5, in the same context of the scripture, is not the same word, Greek word. This word burden here, where he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Talking to us, now we turn the camera back on us. It comes from the Greek word phortion, P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. Literally something carried, a light burden. Same type of burden that's described by Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The light burden of discipleship in comparison to the gift of salvation. Mr. Vines again notices the difference between these and says simply that the first one, that we help to bear one another's burdens, is something heavy, and the one that we bear we consider light. Simply put, we view our brothers and sisters' burdens burdensome, but not ours. But in the end, all burdens must be borne. Not only are we commanded to bear one another's burdens, but we are commanded to tend our own needs. If a burden can be borne without help, bear it. But if a Christian is overtaken, falls down, help them. As we turn back to our text, he says, bear one another's burdens, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How can we fulfill the law of Christ by bearing another's burdens? Notice what the Bible says in Matthew 22, beginning with verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, Jesus said, is like it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then notice what Paul says in the previous chapter of Galatians, this time chapter 5, not chapter 6, but chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Sounds very similar to Matthew 22, what Jesus said. Both the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul make loving our neighbor as fulfilling the law of Christ. Such vital scriptures beg the question, how can we not fulfill the law of Christ in bearing one another's burdens? The Apostle here, I believe, is equating bearing with loving. Again, Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering. Listen, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And remember the words of Jesus in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all shall know you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. So we ask the question, that's all? We fulfill Christ's law by loving? But notice what Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Not just any kind of love, His kind of love, brethren. It's a dying on the cross kind of love. And if we love like that, yes, we will fulfill the law of Christ, because we won't sin against our neighbor if we love them like Jesus loved. And we will seek to help them when we love like Jesus loved. We'll get under the burden with them. So when we love one another enough to bear one another's burdens, we fulfill Christ's law of loving one another as He loved us and bore our burden of sin. As the prophet said in chapter 53 of Isaiah, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Thank you.